Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. So let's quickly go into the word this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified. Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke 10. Luke 10. Quick recap. We said, a man, when he believes the gospel, he receives the life of God. Is that true?
Yeah.
So a man that has not believed the gospel does not give his life to God. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah? We said to give your life to Christ means after you've received his life, you are now giving your heart, your will, your consecration, your devotion to him. So look at Luke chapter 10. And go all the way to verse 38. Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Before her, bid her therefore to what? That she helps me. Look at 41, look at Jesus' answer. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about what? Many things. But one thing is what? Needful. So dear saints, there is one thing, there are many things. Amen? There is one thing, there are many things. You know, you can be careful about many things and fail in one thing. Right?
Yeah.
According to Jesus, within one thing and many things, which is more important?
One thing.
Are we together? So he said that what? Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. What did Jesus now say? Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Are we together? So what was happening? Jesus came to a house. Two sisters were living in the house. And one of the sisters decided to sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, you know what the sit at, so you know what it means to sit at the feet of Jesus? Now, it doesn't necessarily literally mean that she was sitting by the foot of Jesus, even though that can be included. You understand that? Look at Acts 4. Look at Acts 4. We're in Luke 10. Look at Acts 4. Acts 4, 37. Look at verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, and they brought the prices of things that were sold. What did they do? Verse 35, 1, 2, 3, go, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had chosen or had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was sounding Barnabas, which is by interpretation called the son of consolation, a Levite and the country of Cyprus, having land and sold it, what happened? He brought the money and laid it at the what? Apostles' feet. Is that apostles' feet twice?
Yes.
Yeah? Look at verse chapter 5. A certain man named Ananias with who? Sapphira, his wife, they sold their house, and they kept back a part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the what? Apostles' feet. You know, we all know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, right?
Yeah.
What happened to them? They died?
Yeah.
All together? They died, right?
Yeah.
Right? What did they do?
They lied.
They lied. All together?
Yeah.
All together? Right? They lied. And in their lying, they died. All together? Who was involved in their dying?
Peter.
Brother Peter.
Peter.
Brother Peter was involved in their dying. Are we together?
Yes,
yeah? So what happened? Yeah? So you have an encounter, an experience of a pastor being lied to. You know, nothing can be more dishonorable than you lying to your pastor. See, that thing that will make you lie to your pastor may not enter your heart.
Amen.
Are we together? Now, I'm not saying your pastor is Peter. Are we together?
Yeah.
Right? But that thing, you know, in our world, it's very easy to say believer's authority. Yeah. Believer's authority. Ah, so Ananias and Sapphira, they might not have known believer's authority. Are we together? Yeah? What you should get from this story is not that Peter killed anybody. It is that, why did you lie? There's some witches when we're growing up. Is it good to lie?
No.
Is it good to lie?
No.
Children, you don't lie. Yeah. Anytime you lie. Anytime you lie. Is it that like a prophecy? Anytime you lie, you will get into trouble. It's a family thing. Anytime you lie. Anytime you get in trouble. Is it good to lie?
No.
So, but is it good to lie?
No.
Right? Do you know that the problem that Ananias and Sapphira had was the fact that they lied? Do you know that they could have confessed that they did not bring all the money? They went to go and sell their house. Their house worth £250,000. And they brought £20,000 to Peter. I said, Peter, all I have is given to me by, you don't know what to, all I have. We were born again recently.
Jesus,
are you like that? The devil cannot take it from me. All I have, you know, it's given to me by, Rabina knows it. And they brought £20,000 to Peter, and they came to meet Peter. I said, Peter, this is a very huge sacrifice. We sold the house we've been paying our mortgage for almost 55 years. But anything for the Lord and anything for the gospel. And probably Peter would have said, how much is here? You mean to say that you sold the house for £20,000? Peter would say, you know what he's doing? He's giving you another chance to leave. You say, you said you sold it. And what happened? My brother died for a house he sold. Do you know that if you had not sold that house and changed church, you would be alive? Maybe till today. If you had just changed church, do you understand? Another option he had was to not even, because nobody forced them to sell their property to bring it to the church. Now, what am I showing you here? What was Ananias and Sapphira? What were they trying to portray? False consecration. Are we here? They were portraying false consecration. Don't forget, we gave a definition for consecration, right? When your will, your all, your devotion is committed to a cause. And they came and said, well, we are very consecrated. This is all we have in the house. And guess what? Husband and wife, that's why it's good for husband and wife to talk. But sometimes it's not good. Because if they had not spoken about the price they would tell Pastor, Sapphira would have still been alive. She would have just come innocently to say, Pastor, this is how you sold the house. So Peter would have said, God save you. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Bible says they've spoken to themselves and they said, my Lord, Father, what did Peter say? He says, the feet of the men that buried your husband are coming to carry you. What a way to kill somebody. Are we together? Mm-hmm. Right? So what did I bring you here? He said, they brought to the apostles' feet. Now, that, you know, this is a practice. You see some pastors. You read some of us pastors. We read Psalm 91. God says you should drop $91. Are we together? You read Psalm 120. You don't realize something like 150. Are we together? It says, God said you should bring $150. Or God says, for every year of your life, are we together? Bring £2,000 per year. That means if you've lived for 25 years, bring £50,000. And where do you drop it? Drop it at the apostles' feet. Is it not in the Bible? Yeah? But you know that apostles' feet is not as much talking about dropping the money to touch the leg of your pastor. It just really means they brought the money under the subjection, under the submission. So it means that once you hand that money over to the local church, the pastor determines how that money will be distributed to others. So what have you done? You've brought your money to the feet of the apostles. So when Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, what was she doing? She brought herself to be submitted to what? The teachings of Jesus. Now, what did Jesus say? So the woman at home, got the other sister got to the kitchen. She made smoothie, made mocktail, made, you know, a beautiful meal, 3 square meal, made banana bread, and made, you know, so many things. And she was serving. And she was like, are we not both sisters? Why are you allowing me alone to work in the kitchen? Master, tell this lady to come and support me in the kitchen. What did Jesus say? He says, Mother, you are getting yourself involved with many things. But there is one thing that matters. And Mary has chosen the what? The good part. So they're saying it means in your life on earth, there is the good part and there are many other parts. Are we together? There is the good part. Now, hope you know that Jesus was not saying that when he comes to your house, don't welcome him with food. That's what he was saying. But because there's another option of the word being taught, Mary picked the path. That's why as a church, in couple months and years from now, we're going to grow and become, you know, into hundreds, into thousands. Are we together? Right? When that time comes, you know, when we have a conference, for instance, where people have to eat, where we're going to feed everybody, one of the mistakes we will not make is to put some members during prayer time to be cooking rice in the kitchen. Are we together? When the word is being taught, impartation is being communicated, we now put a group of people to go and be burning rice. You know what they call burnt rice? It's party smoky rice. Why? Because there are many things. So you ask pastor, what's the best way to go around those kind of situations? You can easily sublet that contract to somebody else. Or they come earlier and teach. All right, and cook. Or they go during break time. That they are cooking does not mean they've been edified. You know now? It's not like they have their own blessing in the kitchen. No. They are teaching in the church. You are cooking rice. Your blessing is that people will eat your rice. The knowledge that will grow for one who was listening to the teaching, you will not get it. You just say, I smell the word in the kitchen. No. You don't smell the word. So what is Jesus teaching here? There is a sense of connection you need to have with a particular thing. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So we need to ensure, look at Mark 10, verse 27. We need to ensure that we're not distracted. So can we say many things are distractions?
Yeah.
So in Mary and Martha's story, cooking in the kitchen is a distraction. Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Look at Mark 10. Mark 10, 27. Mark 10, 27. Look at 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men, it is what?
Impossible.
but not with God. For with God, all things are what?
Possible.
Now, look at 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all, and we have what?
Followed
thee. Look at Jesus' reply in 29. Let's read together as a church. Mark 10, 29. 1, 2, 3, go. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or bedridden, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake, and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last. And the last. What is Jesus teaching here? It's simple. He's not saying that if you leave your house, God will give you a new house. No. Are we together? What is he saying? He's trying to say, because of the new association and relationship you will come into by following Jesus, you now have brethren, you now have siblings, You now have houses. Because if we are going to evangelism together, where I sleep is where you sleep. Is that not true? When you go into a city, right, and you ask them, for instance, where can we lodge until we continue our journey tomorrow? That, so those are part of the houses you get in following Jesus. So what is Jesus teaching here? The Bible says they left all, they followed. They left all, they followed. Now it means that they prioritized their following Jesus as a major conversation. They prioritized their following Jesus as a major conversation. Look at Luke 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke 9, 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Are you there?
Yes.
Look at Luke 9, 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. What did Jesus say unto him?
Foxes
have what? Holes. And birds of the air, they have what?
Nest.
But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. This is the same Son of Man that promised them that if you leave your house, you'll find a house with me. So that should tell you that what Jesus was not teaching was that when you follow Jesus, you know that scripture, seek ye first there. And what? All other things shall be added. Is it kind you're looking for? It's added. Is he house I'm looking for? It's added. Is he new job I'm looking for? It's added. Is he wife I'm looking for? It's added. Amen. But you and I know. That is not like that. So what does Bible mean when it says 60? So a lot of people, what they do is that they are seeking other things, but they're using front door. Back door. That's the back door. Yeah? Let me serve Jesus so that they say all things will be added unto me. So Jesus wanted to say, I don't chase cars. Cars chase me. I don't chase houses. No. Houses chase me. Don't get yourself troubled. You see, what you need to see consecration as an end in itself, not a means to an end. You don't serve in the local church because you want God to give you a house. What you're really looking for is not a relationship with God, it's a house we are looking for. We are trying to use side corner. So, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. What is that scripture teaching? It's not teaching that because you seek God, think about it this way. Let's be factual. In our world, how many Christians have what they need? You see, you know, there are differences between need and want. Is that not true?
Yeah.
There's what you need, there's what you want. What you need is priority.
Yeah.
What you want is frivolity.
Mm-hmm.
You get it?
Yeah.
You need a place to sleep at night. You don't need a 6-bedroom mansion. You don't need a 10-bedroom mansion. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So when you now want a 10-bedroom mansion, what is that want? What is that want? That is want. Are we together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So you say, seek ye first kingdom of God, and everything shall be added. Okay, so how many Christians have what they need? You know there are Christians that don't eat more than once in 2 days. You know something? Even you that are eating 5 times a day, the Spirit of God in you is the same Spirit of God in them. You are not more enveloped with the Spirit of God because you have what to eat 3 times a day. Are we together? Because people who are not Christians eat 5 times a day. There are people who are not Christians, they have 3 chefs. One, they only employ him for breakfast. One, they employ him for Spanish meals. And one is for what? Continental dishes. And they are not Christians. Are we together? So, because you are privileged to be able to eat once a day, 3 times a day, 5 times a day. That doesn't mean God is at work in you more than is at work in them who cannot eat more than once in 2 days. So that alone should flow our understanding of seeking first the kingdom of God. Because it literally means that, have you not seen people who have served God? You know, have you heard this? Have you heard something called church rats?
Yes.
Is that a figure of speech? Somebody's as poor as church rats. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it correct? Yeah? In English. Yeah. Right? Well, what they say that, when they use that figure of speech on somebody, not you, what are they trying to say?
You are very poor.
Do you understand how life designed church rats as an example to illustrate poverty? My brother, such is life. Such is life. So there are people who serve God for 30 years of their lives, and there is nothing material to show for it. But happy are you if after 30 years of serving Jesus, you have wealth of souls that you have won. Happy are you if after 30 years of serving Jesus, you have tens into hundreds of people you've healed. People who were on the sick bed. And even the people that had money, if they were to be in that position, their money will not save them from the bed. You know, there are sicknesses like that. That with your money, you cannot remedy it. But guess what? God's power comes alive. That's the wealth the believer brags about. That's the riches the believer brags about. Such that whether you have a house or you have 10 houses, we are equal before God. So God does not relate with me more because I have more houses. God does not relate with me more because I bring more money to the church. When at war, what do we do? Those that are the highest givers are those with the front seat. Those with the highest giver are those that have a special car park. You know, I heard of a place where if you have this kind of car from this model, park here. If your model is Nissan, Micra. Your model is Micra, Nissan, Absorb. Everyone's Absorb again. Yeah? Just park here. I know they don't stress themselves. It's the usher at the gate that does the direction. When they see your car coming from afar, what happened? And once you are ordered, you just go here. There were people who collect their Bible from the car. So, you see, you that your orders, won't you be your heart? You are on a queue, 10 cars in front of you, 9 of them went left. Only you, they say, go right. What now happens? You now start working hard. You now start working hard. You now start, and that's what has pushed people to their early grave. Because competition has set in. I will show them that with God, nothing is impossible. That your beans is ready today does not mean I will not be ready tomorrow. That your beans is ready today does not mean that what? Your beans, my own beans will not be ready tomorrow. Who told you your beans will be ready at all? I hope you know that hope and trusting that your beans get ready tomorrow does not guarantee beans getting ready tomorrow. That is why the hope we present to ourselves as believers has to have eternal consequences. Are we together?
Yeah.
So Bible says, Jesus says that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to what? Lay his head. Now what did he say unto the other? Verse 59. Follow me. But he said, Lord, you know the word there suffer? What's the word there suffer? Verse 59.
Allow.
There's a song that says, allow me to enjoy myself. You know song? Sister Patricia, you've not smiled in God's palace for a long time. Yeah? You know that song? Allow me to see this life. I can't kill myself. Yeah? This life, see, if I serve Jesus and I don't have money, it's fruitless. They are the one proposing it
That was his vengeance of the Lord.
I'll repay. And she has repaid now. She can't trust in God for repayment again. Yeah, but what am I saying? Right? You see, Jesus says, follow me. And And he said, no, Lord, please allow me. Just suffer me to go and bury my father. Let me tell you something. To bury one's father, is that legitimate?
Yes,
yes it is. What you don't get from here is that Jesus doesn't have emotional intelligence. You don't have to you lack people's management, right? You don't know Jesus is beautiful, he heals the sick, but when it comes to quotients and reading with people, it's just the way it is. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I know I like this by my translation. Look at verse 16. He didn't just say, let the dead. He said, Jesus said unto him. That means you cannot misquote who said it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they ask you tomorrow, who said, let the dead bury the dead? It's your Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. He says, let the dead bury their dead. What did he say you should go and do? Go down and preach the kingdom of God. So let me ask you a question. Burying one's father and preaching the gospel, which one is more important?
Preaching the gospel.
Ah. Our voices came down.
No.
Which is more important?
Preaching.
You know, I didn't say which is not important. Did you hear what I just said? I didn't say which is not important. I said which is more.
Yeah.
So it means there are two things that can be important, but there's more. Cooking for Jesus, if Jesus visits you, cooking for him, is that important?
Yes.
Now, imagine he's been checking. No, Jesus does not have car now. Even the few transporting midges, he said, go and meet that man there and tell him I want to use his car.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that story now?
Yeah.
He said, go and meet that man, tell him I want to use his donkey. He's a horse. He's not goat, sister. He's not goat. He's not goat.
Yeah.
He said, go and bring the horse. Is he donkey, yeah?
Yeah?
What happened? So that means he didn't have. That means he would have walk. Maybe when Jesus comes in front of Jesus, he looked tired, sir. But what did Jesus say? There are many things. There is one thing. So does burying one's father include many things?
Yes.
Yeah. So what's more important, burying father or preaching the gospel?
Preaching
the gospel. So what did he say? So he's not saying, now this is not saying, go and tell your father, even Jesus said, if I tell your mother, when Jesus said, hey, they buried the dead, but I'm not coming. No. Like I told you, there's a way you will live your life that your family members will give you space. You can't say your mom asks you to sweep the house. You know, some of you, your mom will sleep in the house, sweeping the house, you lift up your leg. You sit down, you lift up your leg. Ah, mommy, you didn't see that place. Happy are you? mommy, you didn't sweep that place well. And you lift your leg and you're over eating.
Sweep the street.
Are we together?
Yes.
Are we together?
Yes.
And the mom says, I want this house to be swept every morning by son, every Sunday morning. Say, no, I cannot sweep your house. The Bible says what? Preach the kingdom. Let the sweeper sweep the house. Let the sweeper sweep the house. And you see your mom is fighting you. But you know you can actually wake up 4 a.m., sweep the house. Or you know before you sleep on Saturday night, nobody's in the living room. You can sweep the house and go and sleep and go to church on Sunday morning. Can you see? So you have done two important things, but you've prioritized the one that is more important.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sunday service is one on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Sweeping can be done anytime. Mm-hmm. Lord, please let me go bury my father. My father is a kind man. He did the road in our village.
Mm-hmm.
He sunk a borehole for us. What did Jesus say? Do you know that if a lot of us had Jesus as our pastor, we would have changed church.
Mm-hmm.
Selah. You know what it means to sell her? Sell her means pause and
ponder.
Pause and ponder. How can pastor tell me to grab her? But you know that in our world, you really find a pastor that can be as bold as Jesus. So even if I were to do that kind of thing, I would say, the Bible says. Before you beat me, I'll first say, you say, my sister, let's look into the word. Look at verse 60. Please read aloud. Because if you talk anyhow in this world, you say, this man, they don't know how to use their word. They say, you see, I so one thing you must understand in life is that people are growing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Peter was growing. Peter, at the end of his ministry, will not care as a affair.
Mm-hmm.
He will not use those words.
Mm-hmm.
Men are growing. Give men room to grow. But also, when men are growing, don't fall into the trap.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
If not, they use that as a pull. That's life. You must just understand that. Yeah, so but what am I really saying to you, right? There is a way your heart should be fixed on the things that matter. That regardless of what comes your way, you are fixed, you are devoted there. Or you are sitting at the feet of the Lord. I thought that was worse. Look at verse 61. Another man said unto... So how many people reached out to Jesus in these examples? No? Look at the Bibles again. We start reading from what verse? How many people were there? Three people? Is that correct?
Yeah.
What did the first one say? I'll follow thee without thou goest. Jesus says, foxes have holes. Is that true?
Yeah.
Jesus says to the other one, follow me. The other one said, let me go and bury my father. He said what? Preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Look at verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man what? Having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Is fit for the kingdom. No man, having put his hands on the plow, is fit. And looking back, rather, is fit for the kingdom. What was Jesus doing here on the background of things? What was Jesus doing? What was he doing?
Teaching priority.
Yeah, he was teaching priority, but what was happening? He was what? He was getting people, yeah, put it in Bible words. He was getting his disciples now. Are you following?
Yeah.
So he was speaking his disciples. So he let them know from the beginning. So it means the disciples of Jesus, he didn't give them room to grow before he started saying they will follow him. From the beginning, he said, if you are following me, this is what is important to. Now bring that into our world. In our world today, we have people who sing songs that they don't mean. Gave myself away. Hey, hey, hey. My life is not my own. Your life is not your own. And you came to church when we almost finished. To you I belong. Simply devoted to you, oh God. Lead me and I will go. But say, Lord, before you lead me, let me just quickly go ahead. No, I like planting cheeks. Let me just quickly go grab the yellow, the red. The yellow, the red. I'll meet you at the junction. I'm just using that as an example. But what people say, you know, I told you of a friend of mine who said she wants to enjoy her life in her 20s into her 30s. So when she gets into her late 30s, she'll get serious with Jesus. Who told you you will be alive in your late 30s? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Precious Father. People that they wish, you know, LNLNP, Long Life and Prosperity. And the LNLNP, not LNLNP. That they wish you long life and prosperity does not mean you will be prosperous. Is that not true? You know that if you wake up every day and sleep, and go back to your bed, and wake up and sleep and eat, wake up, sleep, wake up, eat, wake up, sleep, how would you have money? Miracle money. Do you understand? You need to just be sure that you understand that life is just crap. What am I saying to you? You cannot, on the assumption that you will live to age 40, wait till your late 30s to serve God. It's my prayer and wish for you that you live to 40 and more than 40. But guess what? You don't have time in your hands. You don't have time in your hands. It's life. It's life. It's life. What Jesus is saying is, if you go and bury your father, only God knows what will happen to you between burial ground and where you want to meet us in front. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He's not trying to say that you don't have time in your hands that you can define what you will do. And you think that, how many of you have plans and your plans are always going awry? You've planned for the last 10 years and everything goes as you plan. You've not planned. You can't, except maybe your plan is that you'll be eating every day. And that one, you can plan it now, you eat it every day. I'm saying you have plans. Say, some of you now, once I cross 22, I should have been having a boyfriend by then. As I'm approaching 23 into my late 20s, into mid 20s, I should have done court. No, court should be a thing of the past. By 26! 26, I'm going to give my mom a grandchild. By 30, I want to stop giving birth. And what happens? Life shock you. 35, you're still looking for a boyfriend. Okay, it's neither say at 35, you're not looking for a boyfriend again, it's now my friend. Because boys for the 20s. But you know, I hope you know we're not laughing at people who are 35 and not married. No. We're just trying to tell you time.
Yeah.
And that's why there are people. Anybody that comes to them at age 23 is their husband. Mm-hmm. Somebody just said, wow, you look good. And you now start putting them under pressure to propose to you. You met somebody 2 months, 3 months, started telling them, I love diamond rings. I'm not saying I really want it now, it's too expensive. But you are throwing the thoughts in their mind. Me, and that's why I like myself. Nobody has ever put me under pressure. You like diamond rings now. Even my wife too, that tried it years ago, before we got married. I went to go and look for make-believe. I took her style. Hallelujah. And brought 1/10 value low. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You know, I was talking to someone recently. I was saying, this thing about marriage is just, it's something that happens once in a life. Finishing school is not once in a life. Finishing primary school. Can you finish primary school and go back to primary school? You realize there are so many once in a life things you will not celebrate like marriage. That means you are just putting yourself under pressure. No, but I want to, Pastor, you see this road, I want to close it. I want to close this road. I want to use this road for packing on my wedding day. You now realize that because of the pressure you've put on yourself, one brother who is not even born again just comes and approach you at age 23. And God told me I'll marry at 24. Thank you, Jesus. You now find out he's a Muslim. So God, is this your assignment for me?
No.
And you now fall in love because he has money. You know, more often than not, if you marry somebody who is not of your religion, mm-hmm. as a man, because of the world we are in, the moment you join that marriage, if he allows you to follow your religion again, it will take the message of God or your stubbornness. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Say, no, Lord, you know, what am I saying to you today? Time waits for no one. Time waits for no one. Some of you, You already have plans for your kid. You say, once my kid is 7, I'll start letting them listen to the word. What happened to age 1? That 7, they cannot start teaching you the things of the world. Time waits for no one. Ensure that you maintain a sense of devotion, consistency to the things of God. Right? So, in following Jesus, you are going to decide between your comfort. Are you here?
Yeah.
That means following Jesus will not always be comfortable. Is that not true? Yeah. You know there are some deals you cannot take again because you are following Jesus. Yeah. You know there are some adverts you cannot do again because you are following Jesus. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Do you understand? There are some things you cannot promote again. One of my friends, I remember that year, sent me flyer for one night night party he wants to do. I said I should help him post it. I felt insulted. And I do that. Me, I'm very loud about my Christian faith. I'll not put the kingdom. They don't decide the kingdom taking over Birmingham. I felt really insulted. But some of you say it's for my friend now. It's for my friend. You not even push the kingdom at all. That's the most safer. Let's know you're in the world. Not the one that will push the kingdom, poor consecration, poor believer's authority. And just after that, a dark night, unlimited drinks,
free entry.
These brothers are coordinating free entry. free entry, but just register. So we can plan. Are we here? Because of your following Jesus, there are some things you will stay away from. There are some places you will not go again. There are some things you will not do again. Are we together?
Yes.
There should be a difference between where you were 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and where you are now. A sense of consecration. A sense of consecration. Bible says in 6:2, it says, and just said unto him, no man having put his hand on the plow and looks back, is fit to preach. That means you set your priorities. It's Jesus first. You know this song, every other name fade away. Jesus only you. Jesus take your place. Heads up, eyes up. You know, don't sing those songs unless you just be a voice that is soothing, that comes out from your mouth. Let it work on your heart. We grew up hearing something. There's a phrase called WWJD. How many of you know WWJD?
Yeah.
What will Jesus do? You know it's not a thing of the flesh. You know you can ask yourself that question. You know that can actually save you well. They invite you for one party. You know what they're doing in the party. You know everyone landed. Everybody say, let's do truth and dare. Truth and dare. Some of us, it's truth and dare that has put us into where we are today. The spring bottle.
I won't dare.
Dare me. I dare you. The answer will not be beating. Why is your heart beating? Because you know, the thing they want you to do, you might want to do it. But you don't want them to think that you are not of the Christian faith. And she's people kissing themselves that are not married. Like, I dare you to kiss Sister Steph. Try it. Just try it.
Why is Sister Steph
here? Why is Sister Steph here? I just assume they say there's Christian version. No, because in our carnal world now, there's always the gospel part of it. No, so this one is Christian truth and dear. Christian. You know the man called Peter?
Mm-hmm.
I'll remind you of him. So I said, we're not supposed to be in that meeting. Don't you? Why are you there? They can't invite you. What am I saying? And all of a sudden, you now post it, you now share it. I say, yeah, no, it's just a game. You are not ashamed of yourself. You are watching Big Brother Africa. You are watching Big Brother Nigeria. You should be ashamed of yourself, whoever is watching it here. And online. You should cover your eye and cover your, put it under the table. You should be ashamed of yourself. What has light got to do with darkness? Some of you don't subscribe for your TV until that period. When is it starting? Ooh, I have a friend. You know the funny thing, I'm on my AdWords group chat. One of the people that are there this year is one of my friends. One of my friends over the years. Funny thing is, in the last 3-4 years, I've always had friends that are going there. And they send me flyers to post. You say I should vote. you are giving me a link to send code. I should vote. And Christians are not even ashamed. You are posting it. Don't go into the room. Don't go. They prepared something bad for you. And you post it. You should be ashamed of yourself. You know there's some things that, let's assume you are still growing, but at least keep it private. Vote Esther Yusuf to remain in the house this weekend. To remain in the house this weekend. Vote Sister Vimbai. No, they won't say Sister Vimbai. It has to be Vim from Zim. Vim from Zim. Right? And you now have hashtag. I know your followers will not be posting. They're disturbing you. I muted the group. Vote. In fact, some of people are even contributing money to sending vote. And like, are you not ashamed of yourself as a Christian? No, if you're not a Christian who wants to serve and stand for Christianity, feel free to do what you want to do. But don't post Rekindle's flyer beside consecration. And that could be going to Nigeria. You should be ashamed of yourself. Consecration require you to stay away from certain things. There's some movies you will not watch. Some of you, the only movies you like to watch is the movie that there's a scene at the what do you call it? The trailer. Once you just see people kissing like this heavily, I hope to know what happened to that lady. And you start watching. Before you know it, you're alone in your room. Before you know it, your mind is everywhere. Before you know it, your mind is somewhere.
Sister Patricia.
That laugh is common to man. That laugh is common to man. What am I saying to you? Guard your heart, guard your space. Jesus is Lord. I'll close here for today. But make sure you pick these instructions, right? Your consecration will allow you to throw a lot of things away. Do you know there are some friends you need to stop keeping around? I hope you know. You don't have friends who are always telling you, wow, I won this soul last week. I ministered to this person last week. All your friends, everything they're talking about. There was one chick like this. Hey, that chick. You can't see her twice. Because the beauty. There's one raining drink in town. Meth. Meth. There's one they say on Colos. How do I know? This wardrobe. How do I know? This Colos was there. I knew this last week. I traveled for a wedding. Somebody just mentioned it. I don't know what it means, but I just said on Colos. Is it Colos or Colos? So I'm correct me. It looks like you have the details of the chemical combination. See, what am I saying to you? Ensure that you maintain a heart of consecration.